Appreciate Garland so much, and I'm thankful to be back at Get Well. Every time I come, I have to think of Shotwell. When I first came to this congregation years ago for a gospel meeting, I asked, where in the world did you get the name Get Well? And I was told that during a war, there was a hospital in this area, and that the street was named Shotwell. As the soldiers were brought to this hospital, injured as they were, they'd look up and see that street, Shotwell. That didn't go too well. They made an improvement in naming it Get Well, and so I'm glad to be back at Get Well and Done. I was glad to see these elders on the stage a few minutes ago. They know how to begin a meeting better than nearly any place I've ever been. On Saturday night preceding the meeting a little over a year ago, we came down at a big steak supper right out here, cooked the steaks out here on the pavement, and we ate steak, and I told them I'm ready to go. That's a fine way to begin a meeting. Have a steak supper on Saturday night and start preaching Sunday morning. I commend them at Get Well and Done also for steaks. We appreciate Garland Elkins. He's such a busy person. And I think it's wonderful he takes the lead in so many good things. And Garland, it is good to be back with you. We are thankful for Woody Loden and the prayer he gave to our Father for all of us. We're glad that Woody is a graduate of Lipscomb. I commend him as chairman of the board of Freed Hardeman College. He has a great responsibility, and I know he'll serve well. He's been a board member a long time. Now he has the responsibility of being chairman of the board of Freed Hardeman College, our very fine school, and relationships with Lipscomb and Freed Hardeman have never been better, and we're thankful for these ties that bind all of us together. Claude Gardner, a very personal friend of mine, and I've known Woody a long time. I still remember the kind of car Woody had when he and his brother James were students at Lipscomb. I know the color of it. I envied it. I didn't have a car like that, and it was just beautiful. And Woody has been a friend of mine during all of these years and is a member of our development council at school. We're grateful to be on the program with Franklin Camp. If you could remember that giggling redhead a few years ago when we roomed together at Lipscomb, you would say, as I say, he has really come a long way. There is no person alive who knows the Bible any better than Franklin Camp. I appreciate him. I call him many, many times. We are former roommates, and I'm proud of it, and I'm glad to be on the program with him. He has a great heart. I call him real often to get advice on decisions which I have to make. And I'm grateful for this man who is my confidant, my personal friend, who gave this outstanding message tonight, and a man who knows the Bible as well as any living person. He is still studying it. He is still fresh with the message. We're glad to have him on our lectureship every year, and as long as we're at Lipscomb, we want Franklin Camp there to teach the people the Word of God. Franklin Camp gave a fine lesson. He has the heart that we need because he's attuned to Christ. I hope that you'll read Matthew and that you'll try to develop this kind of heart. This evening, I'll talk on a subject that I believe the brotherhood needs. I don't want to see the Church of Christ go off in 41 different directions. And it seems unless something is done that we, like an end wheel, may fly apart from the human standpoint. And we plead tonight for a subject assigned to me by Garland Elkins, which I think is needed. Jesus Christ and the Sermon on the Mount, the example of balance. We need it as a group of people. And I'm pleading tonight for balance. I use that word sometimes in regard to a football team. I hear them say they have a balanced offense. That means they can run the ball and they can pass the ball. that they don't depend on just any one way of getting the ball down the field. We call it balance, a balanced offense. We talked about scales being imbalanced. We've talked about this in the past, and that means they're not overweighted or tipped on either one side. They're in balance. Not overweight on any one side, we talk about balanced scales. Now may I read about balance from Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. And this evening I give you the challenge, and I make the appeal for balance. Matthew chapter 7. Let's begin reading with verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We call this a great rule of life, and verse 12 does contain a wonderful rule of life. As you would that men should do to you, do you also unto them. But in contrast and in alliance with this, I go down just two verses. I skip verses 13 and 14, and then come down to verse 15, same teacher, Jesus Christ. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And you ask, how did Jesus, the master teacher, how did Jesus Christ in giving the Sermon on the Mount go from as you would that men should do you unto them likewise, the golden rule, and coming down to say, beware of false prophets. Ye shall know them by their fruits. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. It is balance. And it's needed therefore in the church. And we therefore in life need this balance. I happen to be a member of Network Nashville. There are several people in the community who are supposed to be helping lead. And the mayor has formed this network and has asked me to serve. What's the purpose of Network Nashville? It's a community service. Network Nashville is a group of people who are trying to keep Nashville from being burned and going into riots like Miami, Florida. Conferences have been held with people in Miami. Mayor Fulton says that the difference between order and disorder in Nashville, Tennessee today is that thin. He holds up his fingers. And he has told us of two events. He says if these two events happen in Nashville, I doubt that we can keep law and order. There's going to be burning. There's going to be rioting if these two things happen. So we meet once a month in trying to keep Nashville, Tennessee from exploding as a community. And on that Network Nashville, we have a Jewish rabbi. I know him. I practice the golden rule with him. I treat him as I want him to treat me. We want to be kind to each other. We'll eat breakfast together, maybe at the same table sometimes. And when he talks, I listen. When I talk, I want him to listen. In matters of a community spirit, I'm practicing the golden rule. But would I have this person come to our campus and conduct a worship service in chapel? No. Would I have this man come and I present him to our student body at Lipscomb as a loyal, faithful follower of God? No, he doesn't even accept Jesus as God's son. I know him by his fruit. I wish we could fellowship in every regard. In matters of the city and trying to keep Nashville from being besieged with riots, we work together in a sense of trying to build a community and keep this from happening. But in matters in regard to Jesus Christ and the church, in matters of religion, we do not believe this person is faithful. I have to treat him as a false teacher and would not present him in a congregation, Nashville, as a faithful worker, as a faithful teacher. Beware of false prophets and false teachers. Balance. Jesus Christ recognized the rule of life, treating each other in kindness, and I can do it better with a man like Franklin Camp because we're brothers in the Lord. We walk together, and I can practice the golden rule better there. But in matters of people with people not members of the church, people who don't even accept Jesus Christ, I have to say, beware. They have to be marked. Therefore, in balance, Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For my folk, if he speaks, I listen in this community meeting. If I speak, I want him to listen. Golden rule. In matters of leading people toward the Lord, I can't accept him. Cannot accept him as a faithful teacher. Beware of false prophets. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And when I know a person who doesn't accept Jesus Christ as God's Son, I can't accept him as a brother in Christ, though we're brothers in the flesh from Adam's kinship. A second example of balance which we need in a community as we work together and which we need as members of the church comes right from the same passage. I'll mention it next. Verses 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Balanced preaching means there is the straight way, narrow way, there is the broad way, there is the difficult way, there is the broad way. One goes to life, one to destruction, and Jesus puts them together in the Sermon on the Mount and gives balance. Straight gate, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life. And therefore we have to have balance. I can't spend all of my time preaching about the broad way. I must spend part of my time teaching the narrow way. Nearly 40 years ago, my personal friend D.R. Harper came to Old Hickory, Tennessee for a series of gospel meetings, and he came back again because Old Hickory responded well to such preaching. And D.R. Harper nearly 40 years ago had a chart, and it's a balanced preaching chart, and it's based on the Sermon on the Mount, these two verses. And on this big chart, Brother Harper began, if you can think of a big white chart behind me, he began by stating physical birth. And then he had a line from physical birth, and he would come down to the age of accountability, innocent childhood and age of accountability. And then on down to the age of accountability, soon after it, he had you accept Christ or you go into the devil's way. After the age of accountability, you choose Christ and the church or you begin living for Satan. And then he had on that big chart, if you follow the way of Christ, you can go the way of the Spirit and bring forth the fruit, or you can travel the way of the flesh. One's condemned and one is acceptable. And I thought that was great balanced preaching. I sat there and looked and I heard, and I've remembered it some 40 years. And on top of that chart, for the Christian, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all of them given there in Galatians chapter 5. And right under that chart, another line, he said members of the church can fall, and there's lasciviousness, and there's adultery, there is drunkenness, there's fornication, homosexuality, whatever you might mean, and uncleanness. There's idolatry, and there's revelings, and such like. Balanced preaching. I don't want to spend all of my time preaching against the works of the flesh. That's essential. I must spend a great deal of my time preaching on the fruit of the Spirit. At David Lipscomb College, in our Bible department, and in our chapel services, we try to lift up the fruit of the Spirit We try to show the harm of the way of the flesh. We teach soberness. We condemn social drinking. We condemn any kind of drinking of alcoholic beverages. We talk about temperance. We talk about love. We talk about the family. We talk about God's way of marriage. And we condemn adultery. Balanced preaching. Straight gate. Narrow way. One way leads to destruction. One leads to life. And I am pleading this evening for balance in living and balance in preaching, that we may have the idea that you say yes to some things and you say no to many things. Jesus is an example of a balanced teacher in the Sermon on the Mount. Again, an example of teaching in regard to false prophets, in regard to the golden rule, an example in the broad way and the narrow way. Third example, as we think about this basic lesson in the Sermon on the Mount and the teaching of Christ, Matthew 6. You go down to Matthew chapter 6, turn back a page, and as you read verses 19, 20, and 21, you have a great balance idea. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Nashville, we have Tammy the Teller for Third National Bank. Nice-looking girl, they put on television, and they ask you to come down and deposit with Tammy the teller, timeless teller. They have a machine, and you can put it in by machines. You know, I wonder how many of us during the recent week have made many deposits in Heaven's Bank. We talk about making money down here, and this country is almost wild about making money. When I think about the desire that some people have to make money, I think of an article in today's National Tennessean, how miserable rich people are. When they're really rich, how miserable they are. And yet here we go. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Tammy the Timeless Teller is trying to get you to make deposits in Third National Bank in Nashville, or wherever you live, you'll have the same type. Are we more concerned about making deposits with Tammy than making deposits with Christ? Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. A man walked to the stage in Alumni Auditorium the other day and said to me, have you heard what's happened to one of our missionaries in Mexico? And he's a good missionary, for as I know. He had a business in Hollywood, made quite a bit of money, and then decided, I'm going into full-time work for the Lord in mission work. And he carried some treasure with him, some money into Mexico. And he woke up the other morning and it had been devalued 75%. That's like if you have $100,000 in the bank on a Tuesday and you wake up Wednesday morning and you have $25,000. What do? Jump out the window and kill yourself? If you've lived for that money and you've made deposits just for that money, you might jump out the window or might drive the car into concrete abutment and kill yourself. This man keeps preaching for the Lord. He went down, and his money has been devalued that much, I understand, with the devaluation in Mexico. It can happen here. And the Lord said a long time ago, if you had $100,000 in 1967, and you've had in a sack or a sock from 1967 until now, you've just got $70,000. Now you've already lost $30,000 just for holding that sack and not giving it away. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Be balanced. Support your family. Work hard. Help the church and have good causes. Do what you can to build the kingdom of God. Support your family, yes. Live in a decent way. Don't try to be rich in this world's goods for the standpoint of being rich. But we beg you, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Don't remember Tammy too much on earth. Balance in the teachings of Christ. Matthew 7:21. Great verse. As we read this verse, we have a balance in contrast to Matthew 23. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I guess one of the best examples of unbalanced living would include the scribes and Pharisees. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Christianity is more than talking. Matthew 23. Unbalanced living. Scribes and Pharisees say and do not. Scribes and Pharisees love to be seen of men. How many preachers, how many among us love the praise of men and women? Well, it helps all of us, I guess. But let's not live for it. They say and do not. Scribes and Pharisees, Christ said, hypocrites, woe unto you. You say and do not. You love the uppermost seats in the synagogue. You love the praise of men. One of the rules that I had at Lipscomb, I had all of my life. But in leading Lipscomb, I go with the motto, I don't care who gets the credit, just so good is done for the Lord. And we've tried to build a team, you know. A good administrator is one who gets smarter people around him. And we've tried to build a team in the Bible department, a team in the administration. When Carl McKelvey has a great idea, give him credit for it. I don't want to take the credit. Mac Craig has an idea for the Lord, give him credit. Tom Holland has a good idea in the National School of Preaching and Training Preachers. Let Tom announce it. Let Tom talk about it. William Woodson has a great idea about building a graduate school, giving an MA in Bible. He's there. I say, William, take it. And put your ideas into practice. You're a solid man. You're a good person. Who cares who gets the credit so long as good's being done? We want to do things for the Lord. We're little concerned about who gets the credit. Pharisees, they're concerned about, we want the credit. We want to be seen of men. Pharisees, they say and do not. And the Lord said, you look like a grave. Think of all those old bones in the grave. Outside, you whitewash the tombstone to make it appear nice. Inside, they're still dead men's bones. If your heart's not right, as Franklin Camp said, no part of you is right. Camp told me one time, if the heart is not prepared to meet God, there is no part of the body prepared to meet God. Isn't that right? If our heart's not right, we're not right. And no part of us is right in the sight of God. Balance. Say and do. O.D. Bearden left Nashville, Tennessee in 1903 about to move to Atlanta, Georgia. He went to Atlanta, and he who had been a member of the Green Street Church in Nashville could not find a Church of Christ in the city of Atlanta. He began going to the Christian church for a while, but he said, I cannot take this. He had been taught about obedience to the Lord, and he could not take the instrument, the mechanical instrument in worship. He couldn't take a number of things the Christian church was doing. So he and his wife decided, we must leave this attendance. We can't conscientiously go and worship with the instrument. We can't give our lives to this cause. We know what's right, and we must do what's right. They began meeting in the living room. They ran ahead in the paper and found a handful of people, and they met in their living room. And then they rented a lot, two doors from them, put up a tent, had a preacher come down from Nashville and preach in a meeting, and that's the beginning of the West End Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, then Sister Bearden said, we know what's right, we will say, and we will do. We'll build a congregation. And they did, and 28 congregations and more in Atlanta. Go back right now to that living room, our brother and sister O.D. Bearden from the Green Street Church in Nashville, Tennessee. They were not like the Pharisees. They were like the Lord. Balanced teaching, saying and doing. Balanced teaching, straight way, narrow way, broad way. Zealous teaching, false teachers, yes, must be marked, must be shunned. Golden rule, yes. We must treat people in the golden rule way. Now we come to a point I'd like to make from Franklin Camp's paper. I get Camp's paper and read it. Got a lot of papers on the desk. But when Camp's paper comes, I see his name and see that name of that paper. Have to pause a little bit and see what he's saying. I go back to 1977. It is a plea the two of us make this evening. We're on the program together. We make this appeal. In that paper of 1977, he used two words in an article, and I want to use them tonight, make an appeal. Protect and proclaim. Will you remember that? Protect and proclaim. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul's telling Timothy, protect the gospel. Guard that which has been committed thy trust. Last chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 6, I believe. First chapter, he calls two men's names, made shipwreck of the faith, calls their names, said, Timothy, watch them, beware of them, made shipwreck of the faith. Don't you make shipwreck of the faith. Guard that which has been committed to thy trust. Protect. In 2 Timothy, the word is proclaim. 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Marshall Keble said that means when to like it, when they don't like it. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Rebuke, exhort. Gotta keep going. Protect that gospel. Don't make shipwreck of the faith. Watch those who are false teachers, he calls them by name. And then he says, later in 1 Timothy, guard that which is given to thy trust, the gospel, you believe it. 2 Timothy, proclaim the word. Aren't those two great words? Protect and proclaim. Balance. Now we can spend all of our time protecting, though that has to be done. And we want to spend as much time as we can proclaiming the word to the lost. We have so many things wrong. Brother Camp and I have discussed this. So many things wrong, it scares me to death to think what humanism is doing through the textbooks in our schools. Think how many young people in Memphis are carrying biology textbooks every day on humanism and evolution. Studying it every day. Scares me to death. Think about humanism and evolution and what we're doing in our educational system in so many places. It scares me to think about what Protestantism has done. I still believe Protestantism is one of the greatest dangers to the New Testament church. It's division, a danger. People don't know what the church is because so many are trained in Protestantism. You have to protect people and protect the truth from that people may know that people are false teachers sometimes. Protect, guard, so many things wrong, and we have to lift up the gospel. Protect, yes. Protect people, yes. Protect the truth that's been given by the Lord, but proclaim it. Proclaim the truth, but guard it. That's balance. And may we not have to spend so much time in the protection that we don't have time to proclaim it. I was taught a great lesson as a young preacher. Garland, I admired Andy T. Richie Sr. so much. I don't know how many of you ever knew him. But I was taught a lesson about protecting and proclaiming a long time ago at Old Hickory. Brother Richie lived across the way at Neely's Bend. Brother Andy T. Richie Sr. had been to the Holy Land, and he was an individual if I ever saw one. But a powerful man. He was a farmer and preacher. And he was the kind of man who would leave home back in many times ago and generations gone by and stay 4 months and be away from his family. 4 months as he would preach the gospel in Oklahoma and Texas, out in the mission field. He'd say goodbye maybe in June, wouldn't come back till harvest time. Andy T. Ritchie, Sr. He carried me to a debate one night. I've been preaching all these years, never heard anything like this. We drove above Goodlettsville, and Brother Ritchie said, "Now I've got to protect the gospel a little bit tonight." He used different words, that's what he meant, got to protect it. We went up to a country church, I believe it was a primitive Baptist church. And he had this discussion, building packed full, and he had this discussion with his primitive Baptist. I'd heard Brother Hardiman preach, I'd heard Foy Wallace, I grew up on their preaching, but I never heard anything like what I heard that night. It got so red hot that this primitive Baptist said something to Brother Richie, and Brother Richie said, "You are a pusillanimous cur." One of the primitive Baptist preacher's friends left the seat to come and get Brother Richie, and somebody grabbed him and held him back. I began looking for the door if I could get out. I'd never heard that expression before in a sense. Pusillanimous cur. I talked to Brother Richie. I said, "Brother Richie, that's rough to me. That's rough. I don't know where we're gaining anything or not." Oh, he said, "You have to do it sometimes." He said, "I grew up in a different generation from you." He said, "Willard, let me tell you something. You, as a young preacher, don't know what I've been through. What the preachers of my generation have been through." And he told me about holding a tent meeting in Oklahoma. A group of ladies have put up the tent. They finally, after Brother Richie got there, got a little help, and they put up a tent. Brother Richie was staying at a certain house. He was preaching the gospel in that tent, having big crowds, and somebody threw a rock and a string tied to that rock, a note on the string that said, "Mr. Richie, your train leaves at 9 o'clock in the morning. If you're not on it, please let us know where to dispose of your body." Just scared that woman to death. And Brother Richie said, I said, "You leave?" He said, "No, sir. I did not leave." He said, "You know what happened? That woman's husband was a member of the church. And he came home. She called him. He read that note. And he came and said, 'Brother Richie, you don't know these people out here on the western frontier.' So they'll do what they say." And he said, he brought a gun and put that pistol in my pocket. He said, "Don't you leave this house without this pistol." Brother Richie said he got up to preach that next night, and there were the ruffians up there behind the tent. He'd already received word they're going to throw eggs and tomatoes at you tonight. You didn't leave town. They'll send you out of town with those eggs and tomatoes. Brother Richie got up, put his hand in his coat pocket, put that form of that gun in that coat pocket, put it on the pulpit stand inside that pocket where they could see the form of it. He said, "I just want you to know, you people back there on those back steps, if anything comes toward me tonight while I'm preaching, there's something hotter coming back to you." He said the next day, he went downtown and said people just moved over. See him coming? A man from Ash Flat, Arkansas, his home, heard about it. He lived on the western frontier then. 2 days later, a man came, had 2 guns strapped to him, came to the tent. Said, "Is your name Andy T. Richie, Sr.?" "Yes, sir." "Are you from Ash Flat, Arkansas?" "Yes, sir." "I'll be in the Amen Corner. I'm 2-gun so-and-so. I heard about what's happening here. I know how these people are. You say what you want to say. I'll be here with both of my guns, and I guarantee nobody will touch you." And Brother Richie finished that meeting with 2-gun so-and-so in the Amen Corner. He baptized a lot of people and started the church. Brother Richie said, "That's protecting the gospel." He said, "Now, Willard, I know you can't do it now. It's a different generation." But he said, "We grew up where people had to take a stand. And I proclaim the gospel. I proclaim the truth in that frontier Oklahoma town and started that church. under those circumstances. He said, I wouldn't think about doing it now. It's different now. But you know, I wonder sometimes, if we had a little more opposition, it might help us. If we had a little more opposition, we might study our Bibles more. And we might preach with more fervor. And we might reach more people. Protect and proclaim. This is balance. Jesus summed it up by saying, in the closing part of the Sermon on the Mount, he that heareth these sayings, man, and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man that built his house on the rock. Rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it fell not. He that heareth these sayings, man, and doeth them, not liken him to a foolish man. He built his house on the sand, and it fell. Balance means you hear the right teaching. You protect them. You proclaim them. You live them. And you'll build your house on the rock. And you will stand. I will stand in judgment to come. I will not preach the gospel with a gun in my pocket. Brother Richie thought it was necessary then. But I hope I can protect and proclaim, and be a balanced preacher. May you be a balanced Christian. And if you're here, you'd like to walk out as a volunteer and say, I am ready to live for Christ. If you're here, and you know you haven't been firm for the truth, and you have fallen away, would you meet me at the front? While we stand up and sing.